Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 10, the real paranormal events that inspired the making of the feature film Primrose Lane and the continuing episodic series The Passage. I'm Kathleen Davison, the filmmaker, and I'm joined today by two incredible ladies. Today we have guest Patty Negri and Pamela Beatty, who's been with us through the whole journey. Now, if you're just joining us, stop. Stop and go back to the very beginning, because this has been a serial story, and we don't want to spoil anything for you. If you go to Primrose Lane Movie on Facebook, you can scroll down into the comments section and find easy links for all of the episodes. So, we're going to introduce Patty. Patty, tell us who you are, what you do. Give us the quick rundown.
Okay. Well, I knew I was different when I was a little girl. I just knew that those little imaginary friends, so-called, that children have weren't imaginary at all. They were beings and entities that I could communicate with, see, touch, feel, give information. And luckily, it was just never taught out of me. So I just learned to grow, learn what it meant about it. And so I guess I consider myself a psychic medium, and I'm also a magical practitioner. I guess you'd say a witch. I'm a good witch. You know, I don't worship the devil or turn people into frogs, but I do believe in magic, that the way I work with energy could shift and change and really become the architect and create the life that you want.
Now, I'm curious to know, you say that it wasn't trained out of you. Did you have a supportive family? Were you able to articulate what you were experiencing and get some sort of validation, or just in yourself you were validated?
Yes. My mom was really supportive. I think it bloodline came from both sides of the family, so my mom was always, oh yeah, grandma always saw somebody before they died, and it was very matter of fact. Plus, I think, which was actually helpful for me, I wasn't raised with any kind of religious beliefs that got in the way of this is bad or this is evil or this is of any kind of a devil or something. My grandfather on my father's side was this big leader of the humanist society and didn't believe in belief systems of any kind, which in itself is a belief system. But so we didn't have any of those dogmas or this is right or this is wrong. So just went with it, and I was allowed to grow and develop.
Well, thank you for being here with us today. We're honored to have you. And Pamela Beatty, speaking of dogma, you certainly grew up on another side of the fence, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I had a Baptist minister as a father, so it was beat out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Technically, literally, all of the above. So it was a whole different experience for me. Yeah.
And if you've joined us for the journey, you know that Pamela specializes in all things of the soul, basically. Is there
Absolutely.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, it's just that paranormal is normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that is how I view the world and have viewed the world for a really long time. So to me, seeing spirits and feeling them and removing them if they need to go away has all been very normal. It's just who I am. I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
As much as one would want to.
and speaking of an average day in the life of these two ladies, let's talk about what just happened. This is actually our second attempt to record this podcast. We got a nice chunk into it and realized that the system had turned itself off. And I'm going to let the two of you explain exactly what happened.
Well, I noticed just before we went on air, before mm-hmm. we started recording, we were talking about some of the incidents, and two somebodies came into the room, and it felt really icky to me. It felt like they were watching us, voyeuristic in a really icky kind of way, and I was really tempted to say something, and then I forgot, actually, and then we went on with the conversation.
You know, I felt it too. I'm just lucky. I thought, I'll just ignore them. It's no big deal. We'll just ignore that there are other beings here. And, well, I'll be sorry. Someone else is back because they just grabbed my throat. Anyway, I'm ignoring you. Go away. And so I ignored him, and I kept, because I'm sitting behind the controls, I ignored him. And then all of a sudden I looked over, and our audio equipment had stopped recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if somebody, and my hands were crossed over in front of me, so I know I couldn't have accidentally touched it. So then we had to address it. Because Patty goes, I know, I saw him.
Yeah.
So what is it technically? Is that exercising the dude? Is that cleansing the... What they just did? And so you can understand. And as you left the room for a moment, Patty was explaining to me that she was referring to you as a sin eater. Patty, yeah. Do you want to give your perspective of what Pamela does? Because you were saying how fascinating it is to you and how different it is.
Yes, we work... I think what way we work so wonderfully together is we're like opposite ends of the spectrum doing the same thing and beautiful. But I, where I work, again, energetically, but outside myself, I am pushing out. I am pulling down from up, and I am pushing out. Pamela, it just sucks it all in. And then she transmutes it within herself. And I've never seen anything so powerful in my life.
Wow, that's a really cool way to explain it. I just call it sin eating. And what I do is that whenever there's an entity around that doesn't belong here or it's time to move them on, I entice them and tell them, because, you know, negative spirits think they're really cool and really powerful. And so I tell them to bring it, you know, just like, okay, come get me, come attack me, come into my being. And they do. They literally will jump at me. And when they do, I surround them in love. And until I surround them in that love until they literally come through my energy field and lift up out and transcend out of the physical form that they're in, out of the form that they're in, I should say. And the old Native American shamans called it sin eating. Mm-hmm. And you're literally taking in. And this is what most people don't know. This is what Jesus did when he healed the sick. He brought their disease and their pain and their suffering into him. It's what I do in my empathic healing work, too. It's no different.
But what is that experience for you? Because to watch it, and I'll share with our listeners, it's almost like someone going through labor. It seems as an onlooker, at least, so emotionally intense and physically exhaustive. Is it that to you? And I know that you have certain days of the week where you just shut everybody out and sleep and have to, I'm assuming, refuel.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit what is the actual experience like for you?
It's like imploding.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bring them in, understand, too, they're fighting me. They are energetically fighting me. So it's not like I just bring them in and suddenly, magically, they disappear. They will oftentimes jump into my stomach and kick me and punch me and try to get me to throw up so I'll stop. They grab me by the throat. They do everything in their power to get me to stop because they know that I'm turning them either back into the light or sending them to another dimension where they really belong. So it's like imploding. It's like if you could imagine someone blowing up a giant balloon, the Goodyear blimp inside of you, that's what it feels like. I feel it in every cell of my being.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when a mother gives birth. That's literally, it's a great explanation because that's what it feels like. It's like labor pains, but it's shooting out the top of my head instead of out my vagina. And it's, you know, and then I have to, and yes, I do have to shut down. I call them shutdown days to where I don't email, I don't text, I don't talk to anybody. I get fully back in my body. And I usually always get a whole day, but if I don't, I take half the day. I'll soak in a sea salt and baking soda bath. I scrub my skin with salt. After I get out of the bath, I go lie in bed and I meditate, you know, for about an hour. And I do sprays and sage and everything, and I close off my aura again. So it's, you know, it's not easy what I do, but I do it organically. You know what I mean? No one taught me how to do this. I didn't even know what it was called.
Well, and speaking of nobody teaching you how to do it, Patty was sharing with us that she has a rich bloodline that was tapped in. And we were talking about your mother when I first arrived this morning, and you were saying that she basically, from what it sounded like, didn't have all of the ritual. You know, you're talking about the salt bath and the sage and Patty, I know that you love your ritual. Is it necessary, or, you know, does everybody just have a different path that kind of goes to a similar place?
There's many roads to Rome.
Yeah.
There's many,
yeah,
many, many paths, and you find one that fits you. To me, I see our techniques, our belief systems, our cosmologies are literally a roadmap that we put on top of this thing I see as energy to make us to be able to navigate in, out, to be able to navigate to get where we want to go, do what we want to do. She has created this beautiful roadmap the way she works it, and I have mine. And again, our two maps together work really great. But there's not a one way to anything.
No, it's the way that's the most natural to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, I've been this shaman many lifetimes. I came in with this. I didn't have to train. You know, everybody goes, well, who trained you? And I said, God. Mm-hmm. You know, God trained me. Sorry. Hate to. There's no school for what I do. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you can't go to school to learn to be a sin eater, you know.
It's in our blood, again.
Unless I'm having a class next month.
There might be a few online courses that claim to give you certification in sin eating.
I wouldn't want to teach anyone to do this. It's like, because it's not for the weak at heart.
Have you ever met anybody else who does what you do?
No.
I have not either. And again, we both live in this world of these kind of people. She's magnificent. And
I mean, who would want to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest it to anybody, because you've really got to, it's got to be organic to you, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. You haven't chosen it, right? I mean, it's, you do it because it is what you are and it is what you do. Am I yes. interpreting correctly?
And I learned to do it through accident. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. It was an accident. I went, wow, I think I can take your headache away. You know, it was one of those things. And this lady goes, how do you know? I went, I don't know, but I just feel like I can. I put my hands on her, boom, her headache was gone. And it, so I went, oh, that's cool. Let me see what else I can do. And it just kind of happened. It all kind of fell into place. It's like, Patty, I'm sure you get better and better at what you do. Over the years, you know, it just happened. And that's what happened to me. It was there to begin with. It's like Mozart. He just played. Somebody said, how do you do that? And I went, I just play. I don't have to think about it. You know, Mozart just sat down at the piano and knew how to play. Yeah. And that's how I feel about what I do. No one taught me. I don't think it's possible to teach this.
Well, you know,
nor what I went to.
Pamela has become one of my most interesting friends. So
That's a nice word.
I have quite a few friends who have come dying of curiosity and had a session with Pamela. And the very consistent takeaway that I hear, regardless of their belief, whether they agree wholeheartedly with your beliefs or if they come from a more skeptical perspective, they all walk away saying they feel lighter and a lot better when they leave a session with you. Yeah. And that they don't necessarily need to understand why or how.
So, that's awesome. Thank you.
So let's jump in. In our last podcast, we talked with Chris Turner, and we introduced the two teams and the different perspectives that they come from. And we're going to come back to Chris, but we started the actual investigation with Pamela. First, she came alone. So I want to touch on just a few of the highlights of that visit, and then we're going to discuss Patty joining you, because we came back for a second session. And do you recall, I think you felt that you really needed a second person to join you. Do you want to talk at all about that? Do you recall what those initial feelings were that made you want to bring Patty in?
Well, it's, yes, I do. Because, listen, what we do is, when we tune into things like that, confirmation is so important. Like, if we can get another being there that is as good as Patty is, that can also feel the same thing, then it opens you up to feel even more. Mm-hmm. Like, hold on just a second. It did. Oh, no, it's still recording. It's doing really weird things today. Stop it, whoever you are. So it's better to have somebody. It's with what I do with the sin eating. Sometimes it's better to have a protector, and I know how Patty works, and I know she can be there too. Well, I can feel 100% free to take on anything that needs to be taken on, because I know Patty's there protecting me in the light.
Do you ever feel fearful yourself to be alone in a scenario? I mean,
no.
Okay, so you don't have a sense that there's anything bigger than you. It's just it gives you more validation and sense of personal power to have that second person there.
Yes.
To kind of hold the space.
And yes. It's not that I don't feel anything is bigger than me. The light is bigger than me. So I don't have to worry about the dark, because I know the light's on my side. And so I know the light is bigger than me. But having someone there like Patty that can also protect me, why not? And she can also give confirmation because, listen, I'm the biggest freaking skeptic in the world. And it's just to look at her and she go, oh, did you see that? It's great. It gives you that confirmation. We're human beings. And we want that confirmation because what I see sometimes and what I do sometimes borders on bizarre. Mm-hmm. So having another bizarre creature there.
Right.
Yeah. It really helps.
Saw it. Yeah.
Well, let's dive into your arrival for the investigation. And we're going to do this podcast in two segments because we're going to go a little over our normal time this week. So let's just address when you arrived, there were three of us present. I was there, Pamela was there, and Crystal, who was reminding you that I was coming out of a brain tumor at this point and had surgery. And Crystal was there taking care of me, and she had a lot of experiences in the house during her stay as well. Before we were even able to officially start, you were basically attacked. You were basically jumped upon and had an immediate visceral reaction. Can you talk to us a little bit about what happened and what you encountered?
Right. I remember, the house in and of itself had so many entities. It was a bit overwhelming when you first walk in. But from what I remember, we walked into the dining room. And the second we walked in there, I felt this entity literally jump on my back and start attacking, like beating me, trying to break up my aura and pounding me on the head. And I know I'm protected, but you and Crystal were there and I wanted to make sure you were, because I wasn't worried about this guy. Not for me, as long as he left you alone. What I was worried about is him leaving you alone and who the hell else he brought with him. And hell being the operative word. So I called on my spirit guides. I have some Native American spirit guides that always watch over me because they are the shamans. And I called on them to protect you and Crystal while I'm, you know, fending on, while I'm battling this deep, dark force. And I just remember seeing them behind you, and so I could focus on the guy, and I didn't have to worry that you were protected. So I remember seeing the light behind you, and then I just had to focus. And then after that, I don't remember because I was focusing on removing a demon.
Well, it was really wild about it. As this was going on, I said to Pamela after the fact, I felt something behind me. Now, she's not telling me in the middle of getting attacked by a demon that, don't worry, I've sent these protective spirits and they're behind you. But the first thing I said to her was, I felt something behind me, something that wasn't threatening, but it felt tall, like I could feel it sort of hovering over me, and it felt a good foot or two at least taller than I was. And you said...
I said, it's my Native Americans who are wearing headdresses.
Yeah. And indeed, during this cleansing, is that a fair term? Pamela invoked her Native American spirit guide. Correct me if I'm misrepresenting any of this. I'm going to tell you to the best of my understanding. And this guy that was attacking her was being extremely vulgar. And she was articulating what he was saying and wanting to do, and you described him as being a very dark, sexually charged energy. Now, reminding our listeners that one of the experiences in the house from a crew member who had spent the night was that she felt violated by a dark force and had a moment of paralysis that she could not respond, but was felt fully consciously aware of what was going on. Do you have any sense of whether the thing that you encountered, and because Crystal, who was staying at the house at the time, had a number of similar experiences, and we'll get into... In the next episode, when we come back to Chris Turner, we'll talk a little bit more because there were some other violating incidents and during that investigation. Do you have a sense of whether this entity was that entity or from the same place?
Absolutely the same guy.
Okay.
Absolutely. And understand the reason he jumped on me, because he knew what I was there to do. Mm-hmm. He knew that his time was numbered and he didn't want to leave. He enjoyed being in that house and he enjoyed being around all the females, and this was something really great for him. So you can imagine if a threat... I was a threat, so he was attacking the threat. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely the same guy.
Okay, and you gave some additional information about him. You said that he was that he worked with insane people.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him as a doctor, that he was connected with an asylum that was in close proximity to the home.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, real quick, before we get too far away from it, the guy that was there at the house that attacked me was the same guy in here that attacked,
wow,
that disrupted the audio equipment. It was the same guy. And he had heard us. We were briefly talking about it, about him. We mentioned it before we went on air. And that brought him back into the fold, so to speak. So it was the same guy. All I remember seeing him from that hospital was he did this to his patients, too.
I remember you saying that he was experimenting.
Oh, yeah. And he was a pervert.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a little bit on the crazy. He was a crazy scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And who, it wasn't just he didn't just suddenly become a pervert when he died. He was already that guy. So he was already doing it to people that were mentally ill. He was doing it to the female patients and then experimenting on them. So when he crossed over, you know, that didn't change. He's still that same guy.
Well, and this encounter takes a wild twist when we get to the reveal of the two investigation teams, but we're not going to spoil that for you right now. So the next thing you encountered, and we're probably going to get caught midstream here.
Okay, I'll talk fast.
Okay, we're going up the staircase, and you said there are several children in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The first one we're going to address has been here the duration of the time that you have. He's showing me that he saw you, and you described you were with a baby, only one child at the time, because at this point I had two children. You're with the baby in a green stroller, which indeed we had, and he saw you in the neighborhood, and he understands that you're not his mother, but he attached to you as a maternal figure, and he had died in the area. He was never associated with this house in his life, but now he's here in his afterlife. He understands that he's crossed over, but he doesn't know where to go. And you said, I'm going to help him with that, but first we're going to try to, you know, understand what's going on here from his perspective. And you said he was showing you many deaths at a young age, that his mother had suffocated him in one life. You went through a chain of these. And then you said, okay, now they're starting to overlap. He's showing me eating poison berries and drowning, and they're kind of overlapping. So I'm going to stop him because I think what's happening is he's died so many times young and he's kind of confused. And you were basically taking the spotlight off that and trying to take him to another place. But when we get to the reveal, what those deaths, especially the last one, becomes very significant. So remember it, and we'll come back to it in the reveal. But do you want to talk at all about that child and add to...
Wow, well, everything you just said is so good, man. I mean, I didn't remember all of the lifetimes. I just remembered, as you were talking, as you mentioned him, I saw him and I saw berries, and I remembered that aspect, and I remembered how much pain he was in and how lost he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to help him cross over, because he was just stuck in this dimension and he couldn't seem to get out of it. I remember that. He was in such pain.
And as our listeners know, the two most consistent things in the house seemed to be of a woman hearing her voice and her footsteps and people seeing her, and of the little boy who had been seen by both the children. And we had heard his footsteps and heard his disembodied voice on a number of occasions. So it was awesome to have someone come and be able to give this further validation and insight, and mind-blowing that you shared, like I said, the moment that he attached and basically came home, and that you were able to describe a period of my life where you didn't know me, so you certainly didn't know my kids had a green stroller, or and so we'll come back to the boy again in the reveal, because it's going to go to a whole nother level, but we only have a minute left. So let's let's wrap up part A, because we're going to come back next with Patty. Do you have anything that you want to share about the woman? Because you also encountered her consistently every time you came to the house. And that first initial investigation, is there anything that comes to mind that you want to share?
Well, I just remember how much she felt she belonged. belonged there, mm-hmm. and it was her home, mm-hmm. and she didn't want to cause any disruption. She just wanted to be there. I remember that.
And you said to me, you said, basically everything we encountered, you said, I'm going to send it away.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing. You said, the woman really doesn't want to go. She's a need to be heard, and she has a very strong attachment, and she feels that she's protective to the children, and I don't understand fully why she needs to be here, but she's really adamant.
Yeah.
Do you want me to get rid of her, or is it okay if she stays? And you said you didn't feel that she was any kind of a threat, and I elected to let her stay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's it. And that's it's as doing something that I do, I can't. We are not allowed to force karma on someone. They have to choose it themselves. Now, the little boy was very willing to cross over. She just wanted to stay. She wasn't going to cause you any harm. And it was more important for her soul to grow by staying than it was to take her to the light.
So the little boy was just sort of in a limbo, in essence, and he just didn't know where to go. It was the path was there all the time. He just didn't know how to take it. Is that essentially?
The path is always there, mm-hmm. but sometimes our vibration is such that we don't see it, mm-hmm. and we don't know that it's there. So I showed him the path, and he's going, oh, yeah, take me there. I'm ready to go. She just wasn't. So I can't force that on her. If you hadn't want her there, it is your home. So physical beings have a choice. But if you hadn't wanted her there, I would have just taken her to another place. I wouldn't have taken her home, so to speak, but I would have just taken her out of your proximity. Mm-hmm. And that I have permission to do because it's your space.
But you specifically felt that she was, whereas the boy, you were very specific that he had never lived in the house or even
right.
had been in the house during his actual life. With the woman, however, you said she was very much a part of the home.
Absolutely.
That she had either been one of the primary family members or spent a great deal of time there.
I just remember feeling ownership on her part. Like, it was a place she needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to take anyone away from that, as long as they're not causing you harm.
And interestingly, the visitors to the home who reported seeing the woman reported her as being of a similar... There were similar characteristics, like a very thin build, but they saw her seemingly at different ages, from mm-hmm. from a relatively young woman to a rather old woman.
Well, they can choose that, you know. It's like when you don't have a body, you can take on whatever form you want.
All right. Well, we're going to end this segment, but coming right back, we're doing a special double session today because we're going to come back to Patty joining Pamela in the investigation. Join us for part two.
Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 10, part two. The real paranormal events that inspired the making of the film Primrose Lane. Let's jump right back into it. So now we're going to jump to Patty's arrival on the scene. So, Pamela, what you decided that you wanted to bring Patty in, and again, really for the validation aspect of that, right? So when Patty arrives, one of the first things the two of you tap into and start to discuss is the portal. Now, up until your arrival on the scene, we had been told by other people that there was a portal above the house, which you seemed to both validate. But you pointed out that there was another one.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is where you pinpointed the location of it was also where my son, originally going back to the very beginning of this crazy story, when my son said, there are holes in this house and we really need to leave and things can come through.
There are holes in this house.
And mind you, he's, you know, three at the time, I believe. And
wow.
And when I asked him to show me where the holes were, he took me to the same location that you did. So I wrote that into the film. And if you've seen the film, it's essentially to the back of the foyer and that whole area, which originally in the architecture of the house would have been the essentially the household help had, you know, their little corridor that connected them from the kitchen to the master bedroom to the foyer. And now those have all been converted into these three different closets. But it was was essentially in that area that you located the portal. And your account, you were saying it wasn't any ordinary portal that was actually the largest, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the largest that you had encountered mutually, I mean, both of you?
I thought it was the most active, a life presence of its own, this house, probably because of this monster portal right in the middle of it. Before ever stepping foot, I went, oh my God, it's alive. Literally, it's alive.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
It's interesting that you say that because Chris and Pamela have also talked in previous podcasts about arriving to the home, that the experience began before actually entering the home.
Yeah.
Do you want to share anything, Patty, about your distinct feeling as you were approaching?
We hadn't spoken about it at all because I like going in kind of blind to things. I don't want to be, like the confirmation, like Pamela says too. Also, I don't want to be influenced by, oh, I read that, or the less I know, the better, the more I'm going to trust what I get. Just pulling up, going up that long drive, it was just like I start feeling the pressure, the mood, the vibration changes, just the liveness of it. And so
it was pulsing.
Mm-hmm. It was pulsating. And that portal, the spot at the back of the foyer, was just like huge.
It's the biggest one. I've been doing this for a long time. It's the biggest one I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's touch upon that experience specifically. So the two of you were sort of exploring the portal and articulating to us that it was the biggest you encountered. You were debating in the moment, could the two of you close this? And it was a new adventure for you to deal with something of this magnitude. And as you were saying that, would you like to share what happened in that moment? You looked at each other and looked at me and said, did you see that? Did you feel that? And
oh, yeah, that's right.
And you said that in that moment of questioning, if you could do it, that an entity from the portal above the house, from this very high, much higher vibrational being,
right,
basically swept through the entire first floor of the home, raised the vibration, and closed the portal.
Right. I remember at the time Patty and I were talking about it, I remember saying, oh, wow, this might be too big for me. Mm-hmm. And just as I said that, all of a sudden I felt because they absolutely use us. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just this being outside from the other portal. It was Patty and I both, and the three of us, if you will, focused on the light and focused on that energy. And I don't even know how to explain it. It's like you're filled with a dark cloud, and all of a sudden that dark cloud gets zoomed up and out of the way, and then boom, it's filled with light. Patty, what do you think?
I felt. It was like a, how you even were talking about the implosion. It was like a nuclear bomb. Mm-hmm. It was like a nuclear bomb that suck in. Is it a suck in? Is it a suck out? I don't know. It's just a change of dimensional thing.
How do you describe the indescribable? You can't really, because what happened on that day was probably without a doubt one of the most bizarre things I've seen.
Yeah.
And it was so quick and so easy. We were just standing there talking about it, and I closed my eyes, and then all of a sudden it was like being overwhelmed. Whew, I'm going to cry just thinking about it. I'm feeling it again. You get overwhelmed by the love, and it felt like it took a half hour, and it took a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Like when I was standing there, I thought my eyes were closed and I felt it, and I felt them, the energies of these beings using Patty and I, and to absorb.
Dear listeners, we have to take a moment here to explain something that just happened. We're editing this back because we had interference, and again, our system was shut down, and I'm going to allow Patty and Pamela to explain exactly what happened.
Well, okay, so before, when Dark Boy was here, and I'll call him a boy instead of a man, it shut down the recording equipment, so it just completely shut it off. This time, they didn't shut it down, but once before, they just came in, and because of their presence, all we had was static. So you couldn't hear what we were talking about and what we were saying, because it was nothing but static.
But it sounded very many layers, other than the static itself, energetically.
exactly, again, how I see things. It was like much more than the static itself. It was like layers taking into it to again, shut us down.
Yeah, to shut us down for some reason.
And we'll play the Disturbed clip at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
And you can hear for yourself what it sounds like.
Because we don't hear it in our headset.
Right.
It's not like we could tell that there was static. It would be different if we heard it. Then you'd go, uh-oh, what's going on here? But we wouldn't have known it had I not looked up and they stopped the recording. So there's something they don't want us to talk about because it went out as I was saying. What we did, what Patty and I did, is that we absorbed the darkness mm-hmm. while the other entity from the other portal brought in all the light. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, it started static.
Can you pick up there for us? And
well, let's hope I can.
Recreate.
And recreate everything.
They had done.
It was good.
What this thing took from us is they had basically given a beautiful sense of recreation of what that experience was of closing the portal. Can you try to recreate it again? And we'll hope that they let us.
Do-overs, yeah. We hope that this entity, whoever it is, allowed it. And they're grabbing my throat again. Okay. Let's try this again. Okay, so what I'd said is, a recap, is that Patty and I were there, and what they were doing is they were using Patty, and what the light beings were doing was using Patty and my energy to absorb the darkness of what the portal was. Mm-hmm. And then they came in and brought the light in. And I had said that Patty was, and Patty felt like, what was it you said you felt like? A fence or?
Yeah, I felt
guardian.
Like I was the wall. I was the fence. Literally, I was like a parameter. I was giving a boundary to this space to help hold her, empower her, empower them. I was a wall. I was a fence. And
yeah.
Holding this energy and holding everything contained.
Yeah, because it was like an implosion. It was what you call it, a nuclear
like
bomb.
Like a nuclear bomb. That's what it was, an implosion, explosion. I don't know. It was just like,
it was. That's what it looked like to me. It was an energetic nuclear bomb. It just, and I can only say for me is it started inside me. I felt the darkness inside me, and then it exploded out the top of my head, and then went through this light tunnel. That's the best way I can describe it. It went through this light tunnel and shot up.
Yes.
Like a rocket.
Exactly. Like an elevator of light.
And it just shot up. And it exploded into light once it left us. And I remember my eyes were closed. It felt like it took forever. It was only a matter of moments. I opened my eyes and Patty's eyes were bugging out. And I said, did you? And I don't even think she could talk.
We couldn't even talk.
I said, did you feel that? And she's like, yeah.
It was wild.
It was so cool. It was one of the coolest experiences I know that I had had.
Me too. Ever.
In closing, I've closed portals before, but nothing like that. It was like, you know, that was the big leagues.
Yeah.
I felt like I got promoted to the Nationals.
Yeah. And you're basically saying you had another player join you on the team.
Yes.
From that higher vibrational realm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because the two of you also validated the portal. I'm saying above the house. Maybe you can clarify it better than I am. And where that went. Because when you were identifying these two different portals, you basically said the one above went to this higher vibrational dimension that we would identify with as, quote, aliens. But I know Pamela says we're all aliens. And
she
below,
doesn't listen to what I'm saying.
I do. I'm not saying that you understand it all, but I listen. And the lower one, you said, I don't mean to scare you, but this is, you know, when you see in movies the portal to hell, this is not too off the mark of that. That it's going to a much lower vibrational realm, and the things coming through are from that space.
Well, you know, the thing about portals is this: it's it's like having a tear in your fabric, and you're out in the rain, you're out in a rainstorm, and that one little tear in your fabric is enough to knock you down. And that's what this portal was. It really was a portal to hell. I mean, it was, everything was getting through. And the fact that this house had been here, and I think that portal existed before you even got there.
It existed before the house was there, we got there?
Before you got there.
But is it connected in any way specifically to the house, the architecture of the house, the people that live there? Or is it that thing, if you build your house on the graveyard, then you might have some issues?
Yeah, because there was so much darkness because of the insane asylum that was built right next to the property. Mm-hmm. It was a gateway to hell. I mean, they were so abusive to the people that were there. It was horrible. And that abuse, it's just like I tell people, if you focus on the dark, you're opening up, you're inviting the darkness in. Mm-hmm. And that's what this insane asylum did, right, Patty?
Right. And who's to say chicken, egg, chicken was because there was this energetic portal of darkness that, let's put the insane asylum here. Let's have all this crazy stuff happen here. Or one draw. They both feed each other.
Mm-hmm. So which one was first?
Yeah.
It was dark. I know that. It was a portal to hell. And the portal above the house was like if there was an opening in a cloud. Like you'd see this big, beautiful blue sky. This is how I saw it. Like a big, beautiful blue sky with a gigantic cloud. And then all of a sudden, the cloud opens up, the hole just opens up really wide, and this light comes in. And it's funny because I felt the light healing us. I never saw the entity. Did you see the entity?
I never saw the entity.
No.
Energy, to the level of.
It was just light. It wasn't.
Just light.
I didn't feel an entity. I hate to say this, but it was like God just opened up the cloud and says, here, let me take that for you. and we just reached in and pulled it right out. Yeah.
We didn't close the upper portal, obviously. No. So what does that mean for the house? And is there any logic to why you would have these polar opposite energy portals existing essentially in the same space?
Balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just
the house is a big yin yang, basically.
Yeah.
It's just balance. Yin-yang. It's like there's a balance of light and dark on the whole earth, so why should your house be any different?
Did we not throw it out of whack if we closed the portal to hell then? Or, I mean, what does that mean?
No, I don't think so. Patty, what do you think?
No, I don't think so either, because the darkness had obviously taken the stronger hold for so long in all the things that had happened within that house that this is, again, this was creating balance, letting that go away. We can use more light. We're not going to off balance it that way for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it's right now as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the house. There is no portal above the house anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was a necessity, but I don't see it now. I mean, there's still a lot of...
You just got that too?
Yeah.
What is it? They're tapping in.
It's a blanket.
Tapping into something.
Whoa. Holy cow. I can't even breathe right now.
So there's something there.
There is something there. And you know what? I wouldn't call it a portal. No, this is going to really freak you out. It's a spaceship, baby. I mean, it is a... I see it. It's from another dimension. And there were so many wounded, there were so many wounded souls and so much darkness and experimentation in that hospital and on that land. And there was, crazy entities and crazy beings walking around all over the place. They're still there. So the portal, I wouldn't call it a portal anymore. I'd call it an army of light beings that are kind of watching over it because they're still,
I'm sorry, what did you say, Patty?
Like, it felt like a blanket came down when we were both looking at it in spirit and like, not portals, like, but it's this.
Yeah, but it's something. It's big because they're trying to, there's so much darkness on our planet right now. And I think these, and I don't know about you, but I think the beings that are watching over it are like Arcturians, very high vibrational beings not from our dimension at all. And they're watching over that because that, and not just that, but there's a whole bunch of dark places on our planet that they watch over. I'm sitting here shaking. And so they're watching over that place because they don't want another portal opening up. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to protect. Wow, there's a lot of crap going on that in that area. What the hell else happened in that area? Oh my God.
It really could have been like old, it's a sacred ground, Indian ground, this ground. I mean, just active space. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something other than just this house and that insane asylum. Cause it's, I see it as, wait a minute. Wow. It is really a gateway to hell. Oh my God, it really is. I just saw the steps going the end. Did you still see that?
Yeah.
I just saw the energetic steps going down into hell. Oh my. Pardon me. Continue.
No. It's as soon as we bring in, it's this constant trying to go for the balance. Oh yeah, and the light is still there. But we're still here too. It's like a teeter totter. But everything is heightened, like just because of that. Everything's so active, like that. We saw that life force in that house. It pulsates. It breathes. It moves. Everything is heightened. So take anything to the nth degree. That's what it is. The light, the dark, the good, the bad. Here she goes.
Patty, yeah, explain for us.
Pamela is stepping outside because she's, I guess, eating it again. I'm not sure, but she was just completely overtaken. She's coughing. She's choking. She's stepped out of the room, and we don't want the silence for too long. We're hearing her talk. Energy is an amazing thing.
Do you have any understanding for why there? I feel so bad. I feel like we should go and
Should we go
and help her?
Any understanding
for why that concentration of energy is it human events? Is it?
I think it's everything. Again, if you get it beyond the level of energy, it's otherworldly events, it's energetic events, it's human events. Again, one feeds the other, the spiral starts creating. Everything's always moving, and that is at a heightened level. Everything is at a heightened level. And the fact now that we're talking about, that we're doing this, is, again, refeeding it. Just like when you're working and doing the clearings and things that we do, that's why you had asked at one point, does Pamela ever get afraid? She said, no, you can't. We can't get afraid. That feeds it. Mm-hmm. We can't.
And how common are these portals going one direction or another? I mean, with what regularity are they occurring throughout the Earth as we know
in
it?
In my experiences, Pamela's maybe slightly different. There's lots of little portals. But they're usually little portals, nothing like this. Like this is the Pacific Ocean as compared to the swimming pool in the backyard.
Wow.
That's what this one felt like. I find them a lot in my clearings in little funny areas, like a closet. It's like maybe, I don't know why, maybe because there's not a lot of human activity in a closet, or there's not windows or doors or light. It creates portals, or they're just naturally there, and that's where the closet went. She's alive. She's back.
She's back with
she's
her
saves.
She's
saved. So, again, even Los Angeles, where we are, I think there's a big, beautiful portal in the middle of the hills, actually sort of near the Hollywood sign. And I believe that that is why Hollywood and Burbank basically are where they are. It's a good portal. It drew in the artists, the writers, the dreamers, the actors, the musicians, the creative people. We've gathered around this mountain unknowingly. That's why Hollywood is not, you know, 50 miles this way or 50 miles that way. That's one of those magical creative portals. They're all over the planet.
Pamela's coming back in and she's recovering. I can tell we're going to have part three to this session.
You okay?
You get you two together and I think the energy just rolls.
Yeah.
So,
that's what it is. It's because we're together.
Yeah.
So talk to us, Pamela. What's going on?
Last thing I remember saying is gateway to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I saw is, and I don't know if they're going to leave me alone. They don't want me talking about this because they're scared to death that, they know that we'll shut that thing down. It's like we'll energetically go there and shut it down. So they don't want us shutting it down. But what they did is, they attacked my throat till I couldn't breathe. And they literally were, if they have hands, but they don't, they energetically closed off my throat. It's like in The Shining, you know, that kind of stuff. It's Shining kind of stuff.
But you're saying in that moment you're not afraid because you're constantly going, my resource of light is far greater than anything you can do to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a little scary to watch, folks. I know Patty's not afraid, but I'm sitting here hearing you in the next room sounding like you're dying, feeling like a really crappy friend, and then I'm just sitting here going on with the podcast.
But here's the thing. Think about it this way. It's that you shouldn't be afraid because you don't want to add fear to the equation. Mm-hmm. And I know how powerful the light is, so that's why they don't ever scare me. It's like, bring it. You know, I don't care because I'm not afraid of them because I'm paying attention. Now, what you saw was not me being an unwilling participant. I invite it. Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead, jump on over me. And what happened in the moment is I started going down into that little gateway of hell, mm-hmm. and they came up the stairs and greeted me and went, "Bitch, you're not mm-hmm. going to be here." Basically, and they didn't want me seeing it. They didn't want me to see where it's going. And I'm telling them anyway, nah, 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 nah. And where it goes is there are beings that live in the earth that are dark forces and dark beings, and that's what it goes into. It's not just an energetic hell. It is literally dark beings living in the earth that are watching over it, and that's where it goes. That's why...
What does that mean to the house now? Because I no longer live there. My life is so much more quiet in the home that I'm in now. There is someone, to the best of my knowledge, there. I know who it is. It's not someone that I believe is a very high vibration of a person themselves. So what does it mean to the house and anyone who's living there right now? Or does it mean anything?
Well, it means those people that live there have to make some choices. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be let's just call it temptation. Dark temptation. It's like dark chocolate. You know, you walk by in a grocery aisle and you go, "Oh, dark chocolate." And people that live there now are going to have to make different choices. They're going to have to pay attention. They're going to need to not embrace it. Now, some people are such low vibrations, they don't get it. Right, Patty?
Right. I mean, you could just be oblivious to everything. Not that it won't affect you and not affect you negatively, but all of a sudden life might not be as good or as prosperous or as happy or as abundant.
I'm going to go there for a second without saying names. We rented the house from mm-hmm. the owner. When you were going up the staircase, Pamela, on your first investigation, one of the things you acknowledged, it was right before you talked about the little boy, you said the person that you rented the house from lived here. And we found out that indeed she had, along mm-hmm. with her daughter and granddaughter. And you said, I believe you said that they were there for about 6 months, and we found out that that was also correct after the fact. And that you said that they left because of their experience there. And as I've shared in previous podcasts, one of the only indicators that this person gave to me the day that we signed the lease was that she said, "Are you sure you'll be okay here alone with the baby, knowing that I would be there with my husband traveling a lot?" And she said, "Because the house makes noises," and the way she said it didn't sound like creaks and groans, the normal stuff. So, and now, interestingly, that person is back in the house.
Interesting.
Wow.
From a course of events and foreclosures and whatnot, that I don't know that there's a choice in the matter for them to be there. But it's interesting that they ended up back in the thing that I think at some point they essentially fled. Because there was every indication, once we looked more closely at it after our experience with you, there were things like one of those really expensive swing sets that had been put in the backyard, I'm assuming, for the granddaughter. The room had been painted purple. The, you know, borders had been put up for a young child. Things that you wouldn't do if you were only intending to stay for 6 months, and all that stuff was left behind.
Well, it, like I said, they're going to have to, Patty described it perfectly. They may go through sadness. They may go through anger. I've found when there are entities in the house, like the ones that were in that house, they just have to make choice. And I think the reason it didn't affect you as much, because you made different choices. You didn't allow those negative emotions to overtake you. And you didn't look at your kids like you monsters. And you didn't allow it to change because your vibration is high enough that you're not going to allow it. Most people, like Patty said, are out of vibration. They just don't pay any attention. You know, they just don't. It doesn't affect them. And also, keep in mind, dark beings don't necessarily, they want to mess with light beings. They don't want to, you know, like, they're not looking for easy targets all the time. They want to go after the light beings. So you would have been a much greater coup for them, and the kids would have been a much, you know, that's a bigger prize because of the light that surrounds you. This lady, she's not any fun at all, really. I mean, you know, she's, I mean, right, Patty? Right, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's like it wouldn't be as much of a thrill for them because they want to destroy the light. So if you're a part of that light, they're going to come out more likely come after you. And it's like, I'm not saying that these people in the house won't be affected by it energetically because you couldn't help but be, but I just don't think they'll mess with them as much. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. We're over.
We're going to cut it off there, and it looks like we're going to come back for a part three. Going on and on. Stay with us, folks. Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 10, Part 3. This has been an adventure, ladies.
To say the least.
We're going to barrel on through. There are two more. Again, we're only giving you the tiniest bit of highlight from the actual investigation, but there are two pieces that I want to touch upon before we wrap up. And we're going to go back to being, I sort of jumped to the end with the portal and closing the portal, but before we got to that part of the investigation where it actually opened, we were in the dining room. And Pamela, you said, this is just as you were basically saying, I feel the portal is here. You're basically defining the perimeter of it, both of you. And Pamela, you said, oh, wow, my back feels like I just backed up against an iceberg in the bottom of my feet. And you continued to articulate it, and you were trying to figure out, I don't know if it's that I literally backed up to the opening of the portal or what it is. And then we're not going to discuss it now, but when we get to the reveal, this becomes very significant. And I just want to point out, we've referenced the asylum during this podcast, and indeed Pamela and Patty tapped in to an asylum and a number of people with mental disorders, as well as the people treating them who also seem to have their own mental disorders, and a lot of experimentation going on. Stay tuned as we move forward, because in the reveal you'll hear how all of that was unbelievably validated. And so now Pamela is speaking with more knowing this than she had in the moment, but it does end up coming full circle. So the other thing that did you want to share anything about that, the iceberg, frozen back, frozen feet? Do you have any recollection of that? Because I know in the moment, sometimes you're sort of not with us, and and we tell you what happened.
It's part of my charm. I'll put it that way.
Do you have any memory of that,
no.
Patty? We know sometimes we lose her as she's experiencing it. Do you always remember?
No, I don't remember either. Again, because we kind of step outside of ourselves to let, you know, the energy, spirit, whatever, speak through. So the further we go in, the less we remember.
You know, I just remembered feeling small. I didn't feel.
I do remember the cold. I remember the cold that we both got it.
I really thought at first it was the portal, but then I separated myself from that. I'm just reliving it now. Oh, there's the cold. I remember reliving it.
It was like you were on ice and frozen on your back, and you were very specific at the bottom of your feet.
My feet are really cold right now, actually.
Mine are too.
Yeah, we're back there, aren't we? Yeah.
So you'll have to, like I said, join us for the reveal episode, and you'll hear a little bit
It's going up and down my spine. I'm like, freezing!
An interesting discovery that expanded upon that experience. Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to touch upon was the woman. As we said, we encountered the woman pretty much every time someone who was tapped in came to the house. They dealt with the woman and the boy, or at least the woman. And indeed, the two of you together had an experience. And you, I'll refresh your memory. You can tell me if you feel that I'm misrepresenting anything. But you were in the guest room, which kind of seemed to be her room in the house. Yeah. Not that she didn't roam freely, but she seemed very territorial, that was her space. The people who saw her, everybody saw her in that room or in the bathroom that was connected there. And when you were dealing with her, you said that she was absolutely connected to the house, a family member most probably, and that you also defined her in the way that everybody else seemed to, that she was this very thin-framed woman in her when she was in life. And you had a sense of her searching. And you said that you felt that maybe she had a child, a baby, that died as an infant. And it wasn't that she didn't understand that the child was dead. It's that she had the time in life in that space, and the memories were there, and it's like she didn't want to leave, and like she kept coming back to the room to hold on to that, or almost like if she walked in again, it would somehow take her back to that time. And the other attributes about this woman, you said that she needed to be heard, and there was something very important in that need for her to be heard. And as you were saying that, both of you started clutching your throats, and you looked at each other, and you were trying to figure out what clearly both of you were tapping into. And you said, was she strangled? Was her throat cut? There's something with her throat. There's something with her throat. And you couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was, but you were both trying to get there, and something about definitely I just a severing, perhaps, or
I just remember looking at Patty, and she was like sitting there holding her throat. That's how, and we were like, we just were doing this nod thing. Yeah. Go ahead. What did you see?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like I squished, couldn't breathe.
It was interesting. I mean, because like that's what's so great about having you there. But what was so interesting about it is not being able to define what it was. And now as I look back at it, I think I know why we couldn't.
Because don't give away too much, because we want to save the reveal for the reveal.
No, it's just not given away. It makes sense.
We did find out what happened to her throat.
But
your throat, you just had to
tune
in.
What I'm saying is I don't think she wanted to remember.
Yeah, that could be. Yes.
I think it was.
So she wasn't showing? She was specifically not showing you that? But you were picking up on it.
She didn't remember. Because, I mean, you know, when you find out what happened, who would want to remember that?
Right.
She didn't want to remember.
Well,
that's why we couldn't see it. And she just, we were picking up on her pain, but she didn't want to relive her pain.
Well, that's what I say. You know, correct me if I'm off base here, but it seems like she was reliving the energy of a time prior to her death. So you were tapping into her death, but that's not the space that she was wanting to reside in. Is that accurate? Fair
that's right.
Say?
Yes.
Yes.
We tuned into it, and we saw it, and we felt it, because we feel the whole experience of the soul. So of course we're going to feel the death. So we were feeling it, but she didn't want to remember it. So she was, not looking at it, covering up her eyes, like, didn't happen, And I find that a lot with tragic accidents.
Yeah, me too. And that's normal. She went back, that's like a sad animal commercial you don't want to watch on TV. You don't look. You over here. It's a channel. She went back to the comfort of the house and looking for the baby, looking for the child. So, and remember, time and space doesn't exist in other realms. So that's hard concept for us who lives in a time and space world.
And speaking of time and space, I just want to clarify in the chronological order, Pamela came to investigate. Then Chris Turner and his team came to investigate, and then Patty and Pamela came after the first the two initial investigations took place to close the portal, because we wanted Chris to have his chance to sort of experience and document. So when you tune in for each of those podcasts, you have to keep in mind that that was the order, because we've kind of put both your first and second visit together, and it's of crucial importance to understand that Chris and his team got to experience the house prior to the portal being closed.
Did they come, quick question, did they come after the portal was closed also? Did they come back?
They did. Okay. There was not nearly, it was, pardon the pun, dead in comparison.
She's here always. She didn't mean to punish us.
But is there anything you want to add? Because you said that this woman didn't want to go. And again, you gave us that choice. You said that she was there. She felt very protective of the children and of the home and of us. And our experience of her was never threatening. And we elected not to send her on her way. So I don't know. Any other reflections either one of you have with regard to her?
No, it was just, she wasn't like, it wasn't because she wasn't crossed over in a lost soul there. She just chose to be there. So I agree with Pamela and her choice, that giving you that choice to let her stay. She's being protective and motherly and a loving presence.
Motherly is the key
motherly.
Word.
Yeah.
Because she never got a chance to really do that in life.
Yeah.
And that was something really important to her. So why deprive her of it?
So unlike the boy who was essentially stuck in a limbo, you're saying that even when we pass on, we could consciously understand that and still choose to go back and reside in a earthly plane space or a certain time. And I understand that time is not time as we traditionally think of it, but we can basically go wherever we want. And
I mean, it's, she needed to be there because she was trying to resolve an unresolved emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you choose. It's all about the emotional experience, right? I mean, that's the whole point to incarnation in the first place, is the emotional experience. And she wanted the, she didn't want the emotional experience of the afterlife. She wanted the emotional experience that she was having. It was unresolved. She didn't want to go anywhere till she resolved it. It was just that simple.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, both of you. We're going to end by adding on the interfered with, the tampered with segment, so you can hear for yourself and draw your own conclusions. Please feel free to comment on Facebook and ask any questions. Join us next week.
They used us to absorb the darkness. I just like I do with all the other sin eating, I took the darkness in. What made it easier is they took it out. It's like I still absorbed the darkness of the portal, but then I had help in lifting it into the light.
Like words wouldn't even have worked anyway, but we just
all I could get out was, did you? And she goes, yeah. It was really, really cool.
Very cool.
It was so great. I was so thrilled that you